Ramsey TV.
Think about that. No, really, think about that. Paul turns over a guy to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. This particular thing he was doing. Delivered him to Satan. That's pretty dramatic, don't you think? I thought that this whole sanctification thing could be done by willpower. Don't you just go to a Christian program, how to get rid of the flesh? It must be a little more difficult than that. It must be supernatural. I would have told the guy, well, just look toward the author and finisher of your faith. No, the guy got turned over to Satan instead. Must have been a tough case, but the point is that it takes supernatural help, supernatural causation, supernatural kick in ass to get any of these things done. Martin Zender reporting from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula and glad of it. Yeah, turn him over to Satan. That really just explodes any idea that any of us are going to fight the flesh by fleshly means. Being delivered to Satan, that's not exactly a fleshly mean. That's pretty much telling the guy, all right, I realize you're freaking helpless. Well, you're right. Yeah, well, that is the first step of the 12-step program to admit you're helpless. But I don't think the second step is getting delivered to Satan. It might have been the fast lane. Yes, it might have been the fast lane. I mean, Paul himself was given a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to humble him. So it's not like Paul would probably say, hey, it's good enough for me. It's good enough for you. Okay, I got a splinter in the flesh. You're going to get one. Here you go. And the guy was cured. I want to talk about free will a little bit in the context of 2 Corinthians 10. I didn't quite emphasize this yesterday. Then today, this is a big day. We're going to talk about walking in spirit and what it means. You remember yesterday? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, walking in flesh, we are not warring according to flesh. There it is. There it is. I just happened upon it. My eyes settled on that verse. Walking in flesh, we're not warring according to the flesh. Churches, religions will have you warring against the flesh with the flesh. Does that make sense? Warring against the flesh. Well, I have these fleshly dispositions. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to fight against them with fleshly dispositions. No. But instead of being delivered to Satan, I prefer the set your eyes upon Christ. I propose being disposed to things above, not those on the earth. Colossians 3:3. Hang on. That's a great one. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't you people tell me that one? That's a good one. Colossians chapter 3. Look at this. Let's start with verse 1 of Colossians 3. If then you were roused together with Christ, and that goes back to Romans 6. We were crucified with Christ. The old humanity was crucified with Christ, and we are now considered to be roused with Christ. It's proleptic. That is, that's a figure of speech. Prolepsis, the English meaning of that. I think that's a Latin word, isn't it? Or is that the Greek word? Prolepsis. That might be the Greek word. Yeah, it is the Greek word because of the prefix pro. It's before see. So, God calling what is not as though it were. If then you were roused together with Christ, be seeking that which is above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Be disposed to that which is above, not to that on the earth. Why? For you died, and your life is hid together with Christ and God. There it is in a nutshell. Wasn't even planning on hitting that today, but there it is. If then you were roused together with Christ, and this is the dramatic teaching of Romans 6. We're not actually there. It's prolepsis. All right. I'm wanting to look that up now, but I can't do it now. Prolepsis. It's a figure of speech, common figure of speech, calling what is not as though it were to tell you that it's guaranteed to happen. It's so guaranteed to happen that we're just going to say it has already happened. I've had people misapply this verse and tell me, Martin, we're now seated among the celestials. Ephesians 2 talks about Christ who seats us among the celestials. And this guy who lived in Florida before I did, he would say, Martin, we're now seated among the celestials. I looked around at the time and I said, no, I believe I'm in Windber, Pennsylvania. This is not the celestial realm. But the guy didn't understand the figure of speech prolepsis, which calling what is not as though it were to tell you that it's guaranteed to happen. It's like if you tell me to wash the dishes and I say, it's done. You wouldn't say, it is, but I just told you to do it. No, it's done is a figure of speech called prolepsis, before see. I'm telling you that it's as good as done. It's the same as saying as good as done. In other words, this is so sure to be done that I'm going to tell you it's done. It is so sure that we will be seated to rouse together with Christ that we are now to think of ourselves that way. Romans 6, walk as if, remember that one, Romans 6, 13, walk as if resurrected from among the dead. These are great truths. I'm telling you, this stuff works. It's not stuff, this is true. This is coming from a man who is writing under the inspiration of Holy Spirit. If then you were roused together with Christ, be seeking that which is above. I do that every day. I look toward that which is above. I don't do it obviously. Nobody who's really looking at me would see it evident. They'd be seeing me sitting on their chair or going for my walk or driving to the gym or answering my emails or getting ready for the show, but you would see it in how you would think, this guy seems like this guy has, in a way, I don't know what it is about this guy, but he's kind of given up on this life. He's kind of nonplussed. He's kind of a little too cool for school. No, but I'm too cool for this eon. Because I was roused together with Christ, and I'm seeking that which is above. That's what I am seeking. And I recommend that for all those who now listen to my voice. This is real. Where Christ is there, seated at the right hand of God. He's now actually there. As I've told you, Jesus Christ is a being. God is not. God is not a being. God, let alone is he not a man, he's not a being. He is omnipresent, omniscient. He can't be located because he's everywhere, otherwise known as omnipresent. Jesus Christ is not omnipresent. He is somewhere. And he is very interested in our lives, and he is going to take us to where he is. And this is so sure to happen that it's spoken of as though it has already happened. My favorite figure of speech. I have a video out called My Favorite Figure of Speech. My favorite figure of speech is prolepsis. I love calling what is not as though it were, because God is so sure that it's going to happen. Well, of course he is. That it's spoken of as done. Yeah, you're seated among the celestials. I am. Wait a minute. I'm in Florida. It's not bad here, but it's not exactly the celestial realm. Yes, but Martin, it's so sure to happen that I'm just telling you like it has happened. That's how sure it is. It's done. But it's done. Okay, then. Sitting at the right hand of God, be disposed to that which is above. Why wouldn't we, knowing this? Not that on the earth, for you died. Great truth. Great truth. Our old humanity died. This is why we're not obligated to the flesh. This is why we cannot fight flesh with flesh. If something needs done, God's going to do it, or God forbid, Satan will do it. God forbid. But you know what? Satan can't reach us unless God sends him. Paul himself had a messenger of Satan to buffet him after he was taken to the third heaven. So, you know what? Roll with it. Who cares? Who cares? Be like Job, and don't even look at Satan. Just go look to God. Be disposed to that which is above, not that on the earth for you died your life. Is hid together with Christ in God. I think that's proleptic too, because it seems like I'm hid down here. It seems like nobody knows who we are, what we are. But this verse tells us that our life is hid together with Christ in God. It Talk about signed and sealed. It only remains to be delivered. Whenever Christ our life should be manifested, then you also shall be manifested together with him in glory. In glory. Lights all of us brighter than the sun. When Christ our life is manifested, we shall be manifested with him. Why? Because we're his body. And when he's manifested, we're manifested. His manifestation is our manifestation. And we'll be manifested together with him in glory. Don't shy away from this glory. Don't shy away from it. It's not too good for you. It's not too good for you. You can kick yourself. You can say, who am I? You can say, why did God choose me? But it's not about you. It's about him. And he loves doing this with people like us. And he has such glory planned for us, that if a hint of it was given to us, we too would need a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet us. I'll just wait for it and believe it by faith. Wow, look what follows this. This is interesting. After taking us to supernal heights of celestial bliss and glory brighter than a million suns, Paul then says this, deaden then your members that are on the earth. This goes along with what we're saying. That's the only way to deaden the members is by occupation. Deaden then your members on the earth. By occupation with the previous amazing statement. Prostitution, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry, because of which the indignation of God is coming on the sons of stubbornness. This is not funny. This is really not funny, but the reason I laugh is because the indignation of God on all these sins is coming upon the sons of stubbornness. It's not coming upon us because we're not appointed to indignation. So I shouldn't laugh, but it's kind of nice that it's not coming upon us. Among whom you also once walked when you lived in these things, but now you're living in this occupation with things above, and then your members will die. The members of your body that are doing naughty things will die from lack of attention once you occupy yourselves with this great thing. Where the heck was I? Wow, that is so good. 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful to God. There it is. Is that what took me to Colossians 3? The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful to God toward the pulling down of bulwarks. Talked about that yesterday. Pulling down reckonings. Paul uses that word reckoning and realization more than any other writer. Why? Because the circumcision writers, it's right out there in front of them. They just grab it like their blessings are served on a platter to them. Now they're all about physical blessings, but since ours are so great, so far away in space, not in time but in space, the only way we can really wrap our heads around them is to think a certain way, to change your mind. So Paul talks about reckonings and realizations, pulling down reckonings and every height elevating itself against the knowledge of God. This whole thing, what I talked about yesterday, I just want to emphasize this again, talking about imaginations, only the word here in the concordant is reckonings. Christians are always warning us about wicked imaginations. And they think that, again, it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I got something to say about sex, drugs, and rock and roll in a minute. We'll see about that. That's all they think about when they think of the mind and what the mind thinks of. But the reckonings Paul's concerned with is the heights that elevate itself against the knowledge of God. This whole realm is the knowledge of God. That's what we're to use our mind toward, knowledge of God, not toward quitting smoking or quitting drinking or quitting whatever bad habit you have. That's not the priority. The priority is knowledge of God. And it is knowledge of God that will cause these members to become deadened. It's the light before fruit principle. The tree with the most fruit, the tree with the most light produces the most fruit. The only way we can cause fruit to grow is by occupation with the light, by looking toward the light. And that's what we're talking about here. Powerful toward God. Powerful to God. You look at God and the bulwarks of the flesh will go away. And we will be pulling down reckonings and every height elevating itself against the knowledge of God. A height that elevates itself is human free will. That is a height elevating itself against the knowledge of God, because it cares about the knowledge of the human. The knowledge of the human. The more I know about God, the more I can attain to God. Then I'll have I've worked up enough faith to know more about God, and then God will be pleased with me, and basically I'm saved because of my faith. That is a height elevating itself against the knowledge of God. That is what God wants us to get rid of. These other things, these other habits, these other things of the flesh, they're secondary. Number one sin, as I've told you before, is self-righteousness. And that is something elevating itself against the knowledge of God and leading into captivity. Paul wants us to leave into captivity every apprehension into the obedience of Christ, hearing and obeying, hearing and heeding Christ. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, Christians are really concerned about these things. What happened to caffeine? Isn't that a drug? Right. Yes, true. Yes, it's the most powerful drug. It's the most readily available drug, and it's a drug that most people in the world are addicted to. Yeah, caffeine. I see Christians chugging a lot of caffeine. Why aren't you trying to pray yourself out of that drug? Are you hypocrites? Quite possibly. What about sugar? Ooh, sugar is the goddess of so many Christian feasts. What do we have? We have Christmas. We have Easter. Don't need to go past those. Easter is about eating chocolate bunnies. Christmas is about eating, God forbid, what is that, fruitcake? And sugar cookies and candy canes. And most of the Christian holidays center around sugar and caffeine, I might add. So what about these things? That's what I would like to know. I really don't want to know, but I'm just putting that out there for your consideration. Before I go to Galatians 5, if I even do, this is... I'm going to tell you something now that Paul said. I hadn't prepared for this. But he said, and this is something you would never expect a Pharisee to say, and you wouldn't even expect really an ex-Pharisee to say it. So radical is it. This is what Paul said. He said, all things are lawful to me, but not all is expedient. That was an amazing thing for an ex-Pharisee to say. Think about it. Think about it. All is allowed me, but not all is really the best thing to do. This guy in Corinth who was having sex with his stepmother, it did not get him out of the body of Christ. Oh, what do you say about that? Run that one past a Christian. Didn't get him out of the body of Christ. Because we are called not in accord with our acts. 2 Timothy 1:9. We're justified by faith apart from works of law, or any works for that matter. So this guy did not get himself out of the body of Christ. No. So what he did was technically, it was allowed, but it wasn't expedient. It looked bad. The ecclesia was being compromised. Paul was worried that other people would start doing it. Hey, look at that guy screwing his stepmother. I think I'm going to go screw my stepmother. That's what Paul was worried about. It seems a little excessive to worry about that. And Paul did say later, I'm glad you were kind toward my imprudence there. But so all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Not all things you should do. So you have to run everything through the filter of I can do this, but should I do this? Now, Galatians chapter 5. Paul says, I am saying, walk in spirit, and you should under no circumstances be consummating the lust of the flesh. When you read this, the first thing you think of is what we learned in Christianity about what walk in spirit means. I'm walking in spirit. Walk in spirit, and you should under no circumstances be consummating the lust of the flesh. We know what Christians think walking in spirit is. They think that it's constantly being in this like almost vibrating state of the flesh where you're practically an inch off the ground and you're just doing everything right. You got up in the morning determined not to sin. And so far, it's noon. So far, you haven't sinned. And so that means you're walking in spirit. That's exactly not what it means. But hang on. But wait, this is what Christians think. This is what Christians think walking in spirit is.
Oh my God, I'm walking in spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I'm walking in spirit because I did everything right today. I love sugar. You know how much I love sugar, Jesus. You know how much I love donuts. You know how much I love my coffee. And I heard Martin Zander say that these things are probably drugs. And so I determined that I was going to not do it again. I was not going to eat another donut or drink coffee with it ever again, at least for today. And it's noon, and so far, I haven't done it. Oh, my God, I'm so much walking in spirit today. Yesterday, I didn't walk in spirit. Yesterday was a terrible day. I went in the grocery store, and I was walking past those maple sticks. Oh, my God, the maple sticks. They're too much for me. They're just these long things, yeah, with cream inside. Oh, I love long things with cream inside. And on top of it is maple sugar. I was not walking in spirit yesterday. I was walking in flesh, completely walking in flesh. Oh, Jesus, save me. But today, I know you're pleased with me because I'm walking in the spirit. Oh, happy day.
But that's not what this is. Walking in spirit or walking in flesh has nothing to do with what you're doing. It has to do, again, with disposition. So think of it. When you're walking in spirit, it's the same as setting your affection on things above. You're setting your affection on things above. And because of your occupation, I keep using that word occupation, but you're occupied. You have to occupy with something. You have to think about something in this life. Why worry and fret about your flesh? Think about Christ. Think about him seated above. And when he's manifested, will be manifested. And he's waiting to come get us. That's a great thing to think about. And that's walking in spirit. That's walking in spirit. Remember, walking is a figure of speech. It doesn't mean you're like putting one foot in front of another. That's the way Christians look at it. They look at it as what you are doing on this earth, but it can equally apply to what you are thinking on this earth. And that is Paul's constant obsession, what people are thinking. So I've got to quit using that word. I'm overusing occupy, just like it's on my brain. While you're walking in spirit, you will not consummate the lust of the flesh. You're not concentrating on not doing the lust of the flesh. You're concentrating on something else. Look, I could do no better than to read A. Enoch's commentary on Galatians 5, and that was verse 16. Walk in spirit, and you should under no circumstances be consummating the lust of the flesh. Now, I'm going to continue on this on Monday because there's a lot of things here. Paul has some sins listed here. They might be making you nervous. Starting in verse 23, he talks about a bunch of... No, that's the fruit of the Spirit. No, where does he talk about the sins? Oh, verse 19 and 20. You might be getting nervous down here. A lot of people write to me and say, Martin, look at these sins. Paul says that those who are doing these things shall not be enjoying the allotment of the kingdom of God. Ooh, very specific language there. And I guarantee that every single Christian, and even some of you, are getting the wrong idea about what Paul is saying here. I'm going to explain that on Monday. But until then, I cannot do anything better than finish with this quote from A. Enoch, the compiler of the Concordant Version, Concordant Literal New Testament, and this is his commentary on Galatians 5, 16. Listen to this. Here is the divine prescription for our most troublesome problem, the flesh. Every attempt to directly control the flesh. This is A. Enoch from the Concordant Commentary. Every attempt to directly control the flesh, to curb it or cure it, must end in failure. And you folks out there, and I know this by experience, the only way to deal with it, quoting A. Enoch here again, the only way to deal with it is to ignore it. There it is. There's another witness for you. The only way to deal with it is to ignore it. In the Epistle to the Romans, this is fully set forth under the figure of death. Death. Yeah, that's Sylvester loves this truth. Sylvester the cat, he loves it. The death of the old humanity. This is, of course, Paul's writing this. The same guy that wrote Romans 6. Here's the divine prescription for our most troublesome problem, the flesh. Every attempt to directly control the flesh, to curb it or cure it, must end in failure. The only way to deal with it is to ignore it. In the Epistle to the Romans, this is fully set forth under the figure of death. Here, the conflict here in Galatians, the conflict between flesh and spirit is met by such complete occupation. There's the word. He loves the word occupation. He loves this word just like I do. Is met by such complete occupation with the spirit that no opportunity is left for the flesh to accomplish its desires. You see, so walking in spirit is directing your mind towards spirit. That's walking in spirit. And to the degree that you do that, that's the degree to which your flesh has no fuel to live, no fuel to complete its lust, to fulfill its desires. It's got no fuel because you've taken all the fuel. You've taken all the gasoline, all the propane, whatever fuel you want, rocket fuel, jet fuel, and you've sent it all to God. And that's where you're spending your fuel. That's where you're spending your mind. That's where you're spending your thinking. And to the degree that you do that, the flesh has no opportunity to do anything. But the reason our flesh still does stuff is because we cannot now, in these human frames, completely occupy ourselves with that realm. We'd love to, but we can't. It's a tall order. But we do it with the ability God has given us, and we're of course limited by the ability God has given us, but with the ability God has given us, with the measure of the faith He has given us, let us think on things above. Think on things above, not those things of the earth. For you died, your old humanity was crucified with Christ. And when Christ, our life, is manifested, then you also shall be manifested together with Him.